Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Van der Graaf et al. Titled, Impaired Sodium-Dependent Adaptation of Arterial Stiffness in Formerly Preeclemptic Women, the RETAP Vascular Study. This article published June 1st, 2016. Joining me today are Associate Editor Robert Hester, Lead Author Anne Maren van der Graaf, and Content Expert Ira Bernstein. Let's get started.
Thank you very much, Kara. So we would like to spend a little time discussing this very interesting clinical paper that was recently published in AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. My understanding is that preeclampsia leads to an increase in cardiovascular risk, and it's a little unclear what the mechanisms are. As an aside, there's a lot of evidence showing that high-salt diet can show an increase in vascular stiffness in patients. And I think this study sort of looks at differences in low and high-salt diet in women who had previously had preeclampsia. So, Anne, would you like to give a little bit of overview of your study?
Yes, in this study, indeed, we were interested what is the exact mechanism behind the increased risk for cardiovascular and renal diseases in women that suffered from preeclampsia. And since we don't really know whether it's preeclampsia itself or pre-pregnancy cardiovascular risk factors inducing this increased risk, in this study, we decided to only include healthy women, so women that are healthy during the time of the experiment. And in this study, we investigated the arterial stiffness under low sodium diet and high sodium diet to see whether the known decrease in arterial stiffness is also seen in formerly preeclamptic women, in order to see maybe this is a mechanism leading to their increased risk later on in life.
You did two sets of patients, both with a history of normal tensive pregnancy and preeclamptic pregnancy, very nicely controlled. If you look at the data actually in table one, the baseline characteristics were very similar. You then actually looked at pulse wave velocity and arterial stiffness measurements. So could you tell me a little bit about what your results found with that?
In our results, we clearly found that in response to a low sodium diet, formerly healthy pregnant women were able to decrease their arterial stiffness. But if we look to the formerly preeclamptic women, surprisingly, in response to a low sodium diet, these women were not able to adapt their vascular stiffness upon low sodium diet. You can clearly see that under both low and high sodium diet, arterial stiffness was comparable in formerly preeclamptic women. And this was not seen for the pulse wave velocity. And we think this is the reason because pulse wave velocity is more a marker for atherosclerosis and maybe more influenced by age or later on, while augmentation index is more a marker specifically maybe able to show the direct effects of sodium diet.
It was very interesting when you showed your data that there was really no changes in the renin-angiotensin system. I think, as you said, there was thoughts that that might be part of what caused this response, and there were really no changes. Would you care to comment on that?
Yes, if you look to the parameters of the renin-angiotensin system, we indeed see that there are no differences between the formerly preeclamptic women and the formerly healthy pregnant women. As a part of the RETAP study, we've also investigated angiotensin II responsiveness in these women. And in a paper we hope to publish soon, we see that there's a trend towards an increased angiotensin II response for blood pressure in formerly preeclamptic women. So there might be a mechanism of the RAS system interfering in the differences we found, but this is not reflected by plasma levels of the renin-angiotensin system.
Ira, do you have a question you would like to ask about this paper?
So I think the paper is really exciting overall. The interesting thing to me in the results relative to the augmentation index was that when you looked at the women who were formerly early onset preeclamptics, and I think it's important to recognize the segregation of early onset versus potentially later or term preeclampsia, since this study was specifically focused on the early onset subgroup, that it looks like clearly the difference in responsiveness is in the low sodium diet, and that there looks to be a difference in the low sodium diet, not only in the change, but at that response. So not only the change from high sodium to low sodium, but a difference between groups when exposed to the low sodium diet, and that there's essentially no change from low sodium to high sodium in the formerly hypertensive group, but a change in those with a normal pregnancy history. And so I guess I was curious, you showed significant differences in the change over time on the low sodium diet head to head. Those are also significantly different between the subgroups. Is that true?
Thank you for adding indeed the comment that it is important in the study that we only investigated early onset preeclamptic women, since these women were shown to have the highest risk for later on cardiovascular and renal diseases. What we did in the analysis, we tested the effect of sodium diet on the augmentation index between the two groups. For that, we used a general estimation equation analysis. And in that analysis, we saw that there were no differences between the groups. But if you look within the group, so if you look within the group of formerly healthy pregnant women, it was shown that there is a decrease in arterial stiffness after ingestion of a low sodium diet. While this decrease in arterial stiffness was not seen in the formerly preeclamptic group. There was no significant difference if you look to the low sodium values of the augmentation index between the groups.
That could be a power analysis, just because your graph does suggest that there might be a power issue. As the graph suggests, there might be a difference, and that certainly wouldn't be surprising if there were a head-to-head difference as well, but I understand your analysis.
Yeah, I think indeed it might be a power problem. It was pretty hard to get inclusion for this study, since women were asked to be on a diet for in total 2 weeks. And all women had young children, so we did an interim analysis with 18 women a group. And with that 18 women a group, we had a clear answer on our primary question in our study.
And one of the sort of limitations you mentioned about the study was that you didn't look at flow-mediated dilation. Would you care to comment on that?
Yeah, it is a clear limitation that we did not measure flow-mediated dilatation. In order to study the influence of endothelial function or dysfunction in our study, we investigated plasma markers of endothelial function, namely the nitric oxide and the hydrogen sulfate. And since we did not see a difference between these markers between the two groups, one can think that endothelial function is not influenced. But we cannot really say it, because we measured circulating levels, and that does not necessarily reflect the vascular tissue concentrations. So it would be really interesting in a future study to also assess the effect of sodium diet by measuring the flow-mediated dilatation in these two specific groups.
So I found real interesting your potential mechanistic hypothesis at the end about the glycocalyx. Is there any way you could evaluate that in potentially another population of patients?
If you want to study it in this group of patients, I think, again, you really need to include healthy women, as we did in this study, to take care that you only assess the effect of preeclampsia on the results you will find. Like if you have high blood pressure, or if you include women that do smoke, that I can imagine that also affects the glycocalyx layer of the endothelial cells. But I do not have now a specific method or research coming up in mind to specifically study the glycocalyx layer.
You know, I think that the issue of vessel wall functioning and what underlies these differences that are being observed, I think, is a really important and actually critical question. Very much like the epidemiologic or the large population data for adults in cardiovascular disease, my own impression is that indices of vessel stiffness are actually a better predictor and a stronger associative with preeclampsia risk than is a flow-mediated vasodilation, even though flow-mediated vasodilation has been demonstrated to be different both during pregnancy and postpartum in women with preeclampsia. So I think that while it is a limitation not to have done those studies The preliminary data that you have on the endothelial signals certainly supports the idea that it's not a critical difference, and that's consistent with your other endocrine observations. So then the question that you raised, Robert, about whether the glycocalyx is part of this issue, and I would add whether there are other elements of the vessel wall structure that are critical to understand in this response, becomes a really interesting opportunity for ongoing investigation, because it's pretty clear, I think, that vessel wall stiffness matters, that we have this unique opportunity in young women who are otherwise appear healthy to identify subclinical abnormalities and to begin to understand pathophysiology relative to long-term cardiovascular risk.
Yes, in short, I think next to the glycocalyx, it might also be really interesting to study like the endothelium sodium channels, which are shown to become more active during high sodium levels and thereby increasing the sodium influx in the endothelial cells. And that might also be a mechanism leading to stiffness of the endothelial cells and thereby reducing the nitric oxide release. And that subsequently then can lead to the vascular phenotype of stiffening of the arterial wall. So I think if it's possible, it would be also really interesting to study these endothelium sodium channels and responses to sodium in this specific group of formerly healthy pregnant and formerly preeclamptic women.
You demonstrated that the extracellular water volume increased with the high sodium diet. That's certainly not surprising. What do you think is happening to the intravascular volume when you're seeing these changes in extracellular fluid? And do you think that influences the compliance? What do you think the role of intravascular volume is relative to indices of stiffness?
I think the intravascular volume also plays a role. What was interesting is that we did not find like the sodium sensitivity of blood pressure in formerly preeclamptic women, which has been described before. So in regards to blood pressure, we indeed saw that the blood pressure was higher during high sodium diet, but that was the case in both groups. So I'm not sure whether there would be a difference in intravascular volume between the two groups if you look also to their blood pressure response, which was comparable in both groups.
I'd like to thank both Anne and Ira for joining us today to discuss this very interesting clinical paper looking at the role of preeclampsia on vascular stiffness. Thank you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.